No, no, Monsieur Denis. Please, do not play violin. I will make the A on the piano. No, 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 you are flat. Pull the string up a little tighter.
Okay.
Tighter. Tighter.
Oh, darn it, the string broke.
Good, that's one down and three to go.
Well, you better put a new string on, Professor, while I open the window. It's kind of hot in here. There.
Hey, Stevie, kick it to me. And then I'll... Look, there's Mr. Benny in the window. Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Joey. Hello, Stevie.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hey, Mr. Benny, some of us kids are going to play football. Can you come out and play with us?
Oh, gee, I can't, Joey. I got to take my violin lesson. But I'll maybe a little later.
Okay, we'll wait for you.
Mr. Benny, you better close the window. It will be quieter.
Okay.
Here's your violin. We'll start with the piece I gave you last time. What was it again?
The glowworm.
Oui, monsieur, the glowworm. It is very pretty. Commence.
Okay.
It is such a small worm. Do not kill it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take it again.
Mr. Benny, huh? What are the blink blinks?
I'm stepping over the worm.
Mr. Benny, leave the jokes to the comedians.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps we better limber up a little more with the exercises.
As you wish.
Play it softer with emotion. Dip your bow in Jergens lotion. Nero played while Rome was burning. Right now for a match I'm yearning. Now, Mr. Benet, you are sounding worse than ever.
But, Professor, I've been practicing 2 hours every day.
How can you stand it?
What? Now, look, that is enough of the exercises. Let us go back to the lesson. Commence. Now, Mr. Benet. Mr. Benet, please. The lesson, she is over. Will you please pay me my money now and don't keep me waiting like always?
Oh, yes, yes, Professor. How thoughtless of me. I'll go into my vault and get your money. Gee, I wonder who keeps it further underground, me or Fort Knox. I must ask him someday when I'm there to collect the rent. Are coming.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
Yes, yes. We've had that password a long time now, haven't we, Ed?
Yes, ever since that night you hung the lantern in the old North Church.
Oh, yes.
By the way, Mr. Benny, did that fellow on horseback ever make it?
Why?
I had $2 on him.
Well, excuse me a minute, Ed. I'm going to open the vault.
How much money are you putting in?
Oh, nothing. You know, I'm taking some out.
Oh? Sickness in the family?
No, everything's all right. Well, I'm going to open the vault now.
Shall I take a sleeping pill?
No, Ed, you can watch.
It's all right. See, the combination is right to 45, left to 60... back to 15, and left to 110. There.
why be half safe? Now, let's see. One violin lesson, $1.50. There it is. Well, see you later, Ed.
All right. Oh, by the way, Mr. Penny, I meant to ask you, how are things on the outside?
Oh, it's December. Winter is nearly here. And the leaves are falling.
Say, that must be exciting.
No, no. No, Ed, people are wearing clothes now.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Ed. Well, now here you are, Professor, $1.50. Here's your dollar, and here's the... Oh, darn it, it was so dark down there, I got the wrong coin. Professor, have you got change for a Spanish doubloon?
It's Bob Crosby.
Well, here I am.
Bob, I just happened to think of something. You missed rehearsal, too. What's your excuse?
Well, I had to go down to buy a little gift for Sammy's new baby.
Sammy, the drummer's wife, had a baby?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I didn't know that. Hey, remind me to send something, too.
Okay. No, it's wonderful the way the presents have been rolling in. All the musicians sent gifts. Gosh,
yes,
Bagby sent a little blanket. Wayne Songer sent a cute little dress. Remley sent a sweater that he knitted. And Kimmick sent the knife.
Hold it a second, Bob. Hold it. You said Remley sent a sweater he knitted?
Yeah.
I didn't know Remley could knit.
Jack, when you got the shakes like Frankie has, you can do wonders with knitting these.
Well, I guess so.
After 6 martinis, he's an Argyle man.
I think we ought to start on the sketch we're going to do. Huh?
What about the sketch, Mr. Benny?
Well, it's based on that wonderful Universal International picture, Mississippi Gambler, starring Tyrone Power. I, of course, will play Tyrone Power's part.
Wait a minute, Jack. Do you think you're the type?
Well...
He certainly is. He's young, handsome, and romantic, just like Tyrone Power.
Oh, thanks, Dennis. You're loyal and devoted.
I'm nuts, too.
Now, Don, set the scene. And oh, hold it a minute, hold it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Rochester, I called you before and you were out.
I had to go down to the market to do some shopping for the house.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got a half pound of hamburger, a can of peas, a can of beans, and a bale of alfalfa.
Why in the world would you buy a bale of alfalfa?
The price of milk went up 2 cents, and I know what you're going to do about this.
I am not. They don't let you keep them in Beverly Hills. Pasadena, maybe, but not Beverly Hills. Now, Rochester, the reason I called is because Dennis Day said he phoned yesterday and told you he'd have to miss rehearsal.
Oh, yes, boss, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, you did, eh? Well, were there any calls today?
Yes, sir, I have them right here. Let's see. The income tax department called.
Income tax? What do they want? What do they want?
Oh, it didn't concern you, boss. It was about the income I reported.
Well, what was wrong with it?
Nothing. They just called to offer their sympathy.
Well, that's your problem. Were there any other calls?
Oh, yes, Miss Barbara Stanwyck called. She's giving a big party tomorrow night, and she wants you to be there.
Oh, good, good. Black tie or white tie?
White coat. You'll be parking cars.
Oh, well, Rochester, put some new batteries in my flashlight. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye.
Now, Don, you can set the scene for our sketch.
Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Playhouse presents its version of Mississippi Gambler. Curtain. Music. In the middle of the 19th century, the main artery of commerce and transportation between the North and the South was the Mississippi. riverboats used to paddle their way up and down in a never-ending stream. Aboard these ships was cargo and passengers. And a special breed of these passengers was the Mississippi Gambler.
My name is Tyrone Benny. I'm a Mississippi gambler. I've been going up and down this river all my life. The first 20 years were tough. Then I got on a boat. I don't remember much of my father, but my mother was a kindly woman. She always tried to teach me right from wrong. I remember when I was 2 years old, she sat me on her lap and said,
"Look, son, you're very young, but try to remember this. Never draw to an inside straight."
Ours was a wonderful relationship. When I was 18, mother and I parted. I went to New Orleans. She went to Tehachapi. One day, my best friend, Robert Stonewall Crosby, and I found ourselves in St. Paul. And we boarded a riverboat back to New Orleans.
You think we'll make any money this trip, Tyrone?
Sure, there are plenty of suckers aboard. But, Bob, I don't know whether you're ready to be a professional gambler yet.
Well, why not?
Well, you don't keep a good poker face.
Well, what makes you say that?
Because I've watched you. When you fill a full house, you're supposed to sit there with a vacant expression. Not jump up on your chair and sing two choruses of Oh, Happy Day. Wait a minute. Here comes a couple of guys that look ripe for picking. Let me do the talking. Would you gentlemen care to while away the time in a friendly game of cards?
Well, I don't mind if I do. I got $1,000 I can spare.
And I got Canadian time.
You got your tip. Get out of here. Now, come on. We'll play some three-handed poker.
Well, suits me. Here's the table.
I'll deal.
I'll open for $50.
I'll see that and raise it $100.
I'll see your raise and raise it another $100.
That's too much for me. I'm out.
Well, I'll call. Give me two cards.
I'll take one.
I'll bet $100.
I'll raise $200.
Well, I'll just call. What do you got?
Four aces.
Beats me. I got three aces.
Why, I dropped out. I only had two. Say, wait a minute, stranger. You dealt those nine aces, and I think you're cheating.
No man can say that to me, sir. Do you know what it means when someone slaps your face with his glove?
It means a challenge to a duel.
That's right, so take that.
I'll accept your challenge.
Small incidents on the river, and our boat pushed southwards. Our ride took us down past Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and then Missouri. Oh, that isn't who you think, folks. Yes, there was always plenty of melody and music along the river. Some nights, as we sailed close to the shore, we could hear voices harmonizing on the levee.
The robin song awakes a bright new morn. morning, we can loaf along.
Look at up above, everyone's been loaf.
Up the lazy river, how happy you can be. Up the lazy river with me.
Awfully glad to meet you, monsieur. And I hope you and I can become good friends. Very good friends.
Her name was Yvette. And she had come aboard that morning at Albuquerque. Now, I know that Albuquerque is far from the Mississippi. But for her, somehow the boat made it. I told her that I, too, hoped we would become good friends. And she said...
You are very kind, monsieur.
She was a plain gal. Slim, frail, and immature. This description was written before the part was cast. We fell in love, but because her brother hated gamblers, we had to meet each other secretly. One morning after we landed at New Orleans, she was supposed to meet me at the place where I lived, the Old Man River Hotel. It was called the Old Man River Hotel because when you stayed there, you were tired of living and feared of dying. I thought I'd have some breakfast and call room service. Soon the waiter was knocking at my door.
Come in.
Did you call for room service?
Yes, I want some breakfast. Orange juice, coffee, and let's see, what can I have with the coffee?
Well, we have toast, English muffins, donuts, and cimarron rolls.
What?
Cimarron rolls.
Look, waiter. Bring me some orange juice, coffee, and a cimarron roll.
Okay, and you're lucky. Yesterday, I couldn't have brought you any cimarron rolls.
Why not?
We were out of cinnamon.
All right, just go get it.
He brought me my breakfast, and I finished it. And then Yvette arrived. She looked so beautiful standing there in her new knitted dress. I could tell it was newly knitted, because a drunken guitar player was still working on it.
Now, darling, you're here. You're here.
Oh, yes, Jerome. I'm sorry to be late, but I...
Don't talk. Just come into my arm. And let me kiss you.
Oh, your kiss. It is so wonderful. It tastes of cimarron.
Cimarron?
That's French for cinnamon.
Oh, then I must apologize to the waiter. Who can that be?
Oh, it must be my brother. He followed me here.
Hey, wait a minute.
Ah, monsieur, at last I have found you. You pig, you dog, you snake. I brought you in two.
Oh, then if my brother listened to me. Eh. Oh, j'aime cet homme, il est moi. Et quoi qu'il est un joueur comme de plus, et nous sommes de les aristocraties, je lui marierai sans égard pour qu'elle te dise.
What did she say?
I do not know, but dig that crazy language.
Now look.
Monsieur, my sister will not marry your gambler. I challenge you to a duel.
What?
I slap your face with my glove.
You're supposed to take your hand out of it first. But if you want a duel, draw your sword.
Burn down!
I thought he'd be an easy victim for me. He was so young, so inexperienced. But as the duel progressed, the minutes wore on and on, till we had fought an hour. Still we fought on with unabated fury, and another hour passed. And another hour. Then suddenly it was over. He didn't hurt me, and I didn't harm him. But my two sound men killed each other. The Adventures of a Mississippi Gambler.
Francis Baker here. Oh, there, look at those nice looking cakes in the window. Yeah, I'm going to buy something.
Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
Well, I don't know, it doesn't look so good. What do you recommend?
Well, we got pies, cakes, donuts, brownies, and cinnamon rolls.
What?
Cinnamon rolls.
Well, don't you mean cinnamon?
That's what I said, cinnamon rolls.
Well, I don't want any of those.
Oh, I know. Have you got any lady fingers? I used to have, but I had to get rid of them. They kept cracking their knuckles.
Don't be so smart. I came in here to buy some. Now, let's see. Well, I know. I'll have a half a dozen donuts, that chocolate cake, and let's see, I'll have this Napoleon.
That's a Josephine.
I mean, I've been having those for years. It's a Napoleon.
It's a Josephine. That's insane, this pastry.
I'll have it anyway. And say, on second thought, I think I'll have some of those cinnamon rolls.
What?
I said I'll... I said I'll have some of those cinnamon rolls.
Don't you mean cinnamon rolls?
Give me six of them. Now, how much is it altogether?
Now, let's see. Donuts, chocolate, pastry, and a half a dozen cimarron rolls. That comes to a dollar even.
A dollar? Well, here we are. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and call again. You're quite a character.
Rochester will be happy I stopped at the bakery. He loves donuts. I'll put a candle on one of them. Tomorrow's his birthday. See, look at all the new sets in this television store window. Hey, they're advertising that TV show that goes on today. So don't miss Jack Benny's version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Oh, boy, I love those shows where I can play two parts.
Hi, Jack. What are you doing here?
Huh? Oh, Bob Crosby. I was just looking at the television set. Where are you going, Bob?
Oh, nowhere. Just coming from Remley's house. You see, Frankie's sick in bed with the flu.
Gosh, everybody seems to have had it. Is Remley taking good care of himself?
Oh, yes. Starts out in the morning with a hot toddy. 9 o'clock, he has grapefruit juice and bourbon. 10 o'clock, he has orange juice and vodka. At noon, he has lime and gin. He keeps repeating this until bedtime.
But for heaven's sake, who's his doctor?
Oh, he hasn't got a doctor. He's got a bartender.
Well, of all the... Why doesn't he get a doctor?
What? And get well?
Well,
got to be running along, Bob. Don't forget my television show this afternoon.
Don't worry, Jack. I'll be watching it.
Watching it? Your Honor.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Well, see you later.
So long. Oh, Bob.
Yes?
You know, I got something funny to tell you. You know that word that you always have so much trouble pronouncing?
Manischewitz?
Yes, yes. Well, I just ran into a fellow in a bakery who couldn't pronounce cinnamon rolls.
Well, how do you...
how do you like that? You mean you couldn't say cinnamon rolls? So long, Bob. So long. Imagine Bob almost forgetting my TV show. See, I can't wait till I get on and do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The part I like is when I change from the nice, kind-hearted Dr. Jekyll into the mean, cruel Mr. Hyde. Boy, that really takes acting. Oh, my goodness. People are looking at me. I'm so embarrassed. See, look what time it is. I better get down to the 2B studio.
Extract, forget your paper here. Ladies, election return.
Election return?
Extra, extra, Herbert Hoover elected president of the United States. Hoover defeats Alfred E. Smith. Extra, extra, Herbert Hoover new president. Extra, extra.
That's what I get for transcribing my show so far in advance. Oh, well, I better hurry. Good night, folks.
And now, let's go out to Jackman's house in Beverly Hills. It's such a lovely morning that outside on the front lawn, we hear the splashing of birds in the bird bath. While upstairs, we hear the sound of the shower.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling that everything's going my way.
Rochester, I'm through showering. You can stop singing now.
Okay.
Say, Rochester, I don't know where you're buying soap lately, but that new bar I just used didn't lather at all.
I didn't know you took a new bar of soap. Did you get it out of the service closet?
No, I found it in the kitchen.
In the drawer?
No, in a dish near the drain board.
Well, congratulations, boss.
Why?
You have just showered with a peeled potato.
A peeled... Imagine showering with a peeled potato.
You now have the skin that lamb chops love to touch.
Never mind that. Here, take this towel and dry my back, will you please?
Yes.
Ah, that feels good. Now, Rochester, while I get dressed, how about fixing me some breakfast?
Yes. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful... Oh, good morning, Polly.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling that something is coming my way.
You got a feeling, all right, she laid an egg. Good girl, Polly. Come in. Come in. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, Rochester.
Oh, good morning, Miss Livingston. Come right in.
You must be in a good mood. I heard you singing as you were coming to the door.
Oh, I always sing when it's getting close to my payday.
Why do you sing so long before payday?
There ain't much to sing about after.
I know what you mean.
Oh, good morning, Mary.
Hello, Jack. You know, it's so early, I thought you'd still be in bed.
In bed? Are you kidding? I've already taken my shower. Rochester, how about breakfast?
Coming up.
Mary, would you care for something to eat?
No, thanks. I'm not hungry.
You know, Mary, you look kind of cute this morning. You really do. How about a kiss?
Okay. That's funny.
What?
I just said I wasn't hungry, and now I've got a craving for potatoes.
Well, we've got the cleanest ones in town.
What?
Nothing. Rochester, just make my breakfast.
Wait a minute, Jack. What is Rochester talking about?
All right, I'll tell you. This morning when I was taking a shower, I thought I picked up a cake of soap, but it turned out to be a peeled potato. It could happen to anybody.
That couldn't happen to Gracie Allen.
All right. So I showered with a potato. What do you want me to do?
Kiss me, I'm hungry.
Never mind. Rochester, is breakfast ready?
I just put the coffee on. What else would you like?
Well, I'd like a little bacon and, one fried E-G-G.
Yes, sir. A little bacon and one fried E-G-G.
Jack, what's the idea of the spelling? Why don't you just say you want a little bacon and one fried...
Don't say it, Mary. Don't say it. We always spell it. You know, Polly lays an E-G-G every day, and she'd go crazy if she ever found out we were eating them.
Oh.
E-G-G, E-G-G.
Isn't that cute?
E-G-G, 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 E-G-G. Hey!
Polly, calm down. Rochester, no egg. Fix me some pancakes.
Yes.
Now, who can that be?
Oh, I'll get it. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mary. Is Mr. Benny in?
Yes, he's having breakfast.
Well, I'm sure glad he's here because I got plenty to tell him.
Dennis, what's the matter?
14 years this has been going on, and I've had all I can take. I've stood enough, believe me.
Well, Dennis, what is it?
I wouldn't mind if it was only once or twice, but every week the same thing, week in and week out. After all, what does he take me for? I'm fed up, I tell you. Fed up!
Well, Dennis, I don't know what's on your mind, but obviously you should talk to Mr. Benny.
Well, I'll say I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him off.
Well, come on. He's in the breakfast room.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Gee, you're looking well today.
Thanks, kid. What'd you come over for?
Oh, I just happened to be in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd drop in.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Dennis, what are you waiting for? Why don't you tell him off?
What are you trying to do, start something?
Yes, Mary, what's the matter with you?
What's the matter with me?
Yeah.
You've been mistreating Dennis and taking advantage of him for 14 years.
What?
And he's had enough of it. After all, what do you take him for?
Mary, what are you trying to do, make trouble or something?
That's telling her, Mr. Benny.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Dennis, I'm going to straighten this thing out right now. Didn't you come to the door and tell me that you were mad at Mr. Benny?
Uh-huh.
And didn't you tell me that you were fed up with the way he was treating you?
Uh-huh.
And didn't you say you were going to tell him plenty?
Uh-huh.
Then why is it when you walked up to Mr. Benny, you were so nice to him?
When I saw his long fingernails, I lost my nerve.
Being silly. Rochester, what was that?
The toast, it blew out the window.
Oh, my goodness. That piece of toast landed on the lawn, and it'll attract ants. I'll be right back. Now, let's see. It flew out through that window, so it should be right on the lawn. I don't see it. Maybe it flew out into the street. Funny, I don't see it around here either. There's the Coleman's garbage can. It hasn't got a lid on it. I wonder if the toast could have gone in there. See, I got to find her. We'll be loaded with ants. There's several pieces of toast in here.
Jack!
Huh? Oh, hello, Bob. I was just looking for a piece of toast.
Well, Jack, why didn't you tell me the things were that rough? Why, it worked for nothing.
Bob, you don't understand.
Well, Jack, you can be honest with me. Come on, I'll take you down to market and buy you enough food to last for 2 months.
Bob, I'm trying to tell you that... What'd you say? Huh?
Well, I said that I'd take you down to the market and buy enough food for 2 months.
Jack, come on in. Your breakfast is ready.
You eat it. Bob and I are going shopping.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You mean you have food in the house and yet you are going to let me try to buy some for you?
Bob, I was just going to teach you a lesson for being so silly. Now, come on in the house.
Hello, Mr. Coffey.
Hello, Rochester. Hiya, Mary.
Hello, Bob.
Hiya, Bob. Hiya, Dennis.
Sit down, kids. Mary, pour everybody some coffee. Will
okay.
You? There's someone at the back door. I'll answer it.
Hello, Mr. Bunny.
Oh, the man from the bakery shop.
Yeah, I got the stuff that you ordered. Some donuts, some chocolate cake, some pastry, and a half a dozen cinnamon rolls.
You still can't pronounce it, can you? Look, it isn't cimarron, it's cinnamon. Now, let me ask you something. Maybe this will help you pronounce it. How are these rolls made?
Well, you take some flour, sugar, eggs, and do you want to know all the ingredients?
Now, look, it isn't ingredient, it's ingredient. Yes, I want to know all of them, then.
Well, there's flour, sugar, eggs, shortening, and cinnamon.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, look, take your time. Think. Okay. Now, let me hear you say it.
Ingredients.
I don't mean ingredients. I'm trying to get you to say cimarron. I mean cinnamon.
Why don't you order something else? You drive me nuts.
All right, just give me my stuff. Thanks and goodbye.
Bye.
Jack, who is that?
Oh, that silly guy from the bakery. The fellow who insists upon saying cimarron rolls. Well, here you are, kid. You can have some of these with your coffee. They're nice and fresh.
Wait a minute, Jack. He's right.
What do you mean he's right?
Well, look at that label on this paper box. These are genuine cimarron rolls, named after J.P. Cimarron, founder of the Cimarron Baking Company.
What?
These cimarron rolls should not be confused with ordinary cinnamon rolls, which are made from entirely different ingredients.
Well, Jack, I guess that'll hold you.
Hold me nothing. That silly guy had that label printed himself just because he can't say cinnamon. He must be crazy.
Well, boss, there's one way of finding out.
How?
Ask him if he showers with a peeled potato.
Nearly every good comedian has good timing. They couldn't be good without it. Burns has great timing. Ed Wynn had the greatest. Gracie Allen had probably the greatest. Well, she was the great of all time when it came to timing. You have to have real good timing or you can't exist as a comedian.
But the Federalists had us outnumbered. They killed my workers and took the mine. I had to flee into the hills for my life. After wandering for days, I stumbled exhausted into a camp of insurrectos. At first, they were suspicious. But finally, one of them came over and shook my hand.
You want to shake hands?
Sí.
Then I consider you my friend?
Sí.
You will always help me?
Sí.
Then, to my surprise, he walked away. I turned to go. Someone pulled at my sleeve.
Oh, Senor Irish. Senor Irish.
What is it?
Before you leave, I would like you to meet my little 6-year-old son, Tomas.
Oh, hello, Tomas.
Tomas, he is learning to be a magician. He does a wonderful act on the stage with his sister.
Really? So you're a magician, eh, Tomas?
Sí.
Do you have an act?
Sí.
With your sister?
Sí.
What is your sister's name?
Sue.
Sue?
Sí.
What do you do in your act?
What do you saw?
So.
Sue?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Somebody put you up to this. Who was it?
Me.
You?
Me.
Who are you?
I.
Si?
Si.
Psycho, Earl Carroll's Vanities. I had about 20 weeks to go, and I was making, $1,500 or $1,700 a week, even then, before radio. And that was a lot of money. And I realized that the coming thing now was radio, and I'd better get into it. And I went to Earl Carroll, Carroll's Vanities, and I asked for a release. He finally gave it to me. I showed him why he could. I said, you're going to play some small towns now. We've played New York and the big city. You really don't need me. You'll save $1,500 a week, and I'll try to get on radio. Well, then I went back, played a few theaters, and there wasn't much water left. As you know, it kept dying out, because I used to play here at the Orpheum years and years and years ago. And finally, I went on Ed Sullivan. We were friends, and I went on Ed Sullivan's news show. And he did this thing, and I says, come on, be a guest. I said, what do we do? Oh, he said, we'll prepare something. So I got on his show, and the agency for Canada Dry Ginger Ale heard me. And they gave me a job right away. I work because I enjoy working. excuse me. I work because I like it. What would I do, let's say, if I didn't work? Now, that doesn't mean that I have to work quite as much as I do. I'm going to try to cut down a little bit because I have a beautiful home in Palm Springs and I should spend more time there taking a little holiday and a vacation.
Gee, Mary, it was awfully nice of you to drive me down to the station.
Oh, that's all right, Jack. I wanted to see you.
Well, let's go in.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim. Azusa and Cucamonga.
You know, Jack, there's something fascinating about a railroad station. So many people going so many places.
Yeah. Mary, I'm going over to the newsstand to get a magazine. You wait for me here.
Okay.
Attention, please. Attention. Train leaving on track 1 for Baltimore and Washington. It's leaving now, so you better run.
Let's see. I think the newsstand is over by the...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Kitzer.
Mr. Benny, what are you doing by the railroad station?
Well, I'm going to Houston, Texas.
Well, put her there, partner. That's where I'm heading.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, I'll probably see you down there. I'll be at the Shamrock Hotel.
Shamrock? My, that's a wonderful name for a hotel. It brings a lump in my throat.
It does?
Yes, I haven't seen a Shamrock since I left the old country.
Bust along, Mr. Kitzel. See you in Texas.
Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo, Ghost Riders.
Well, I better go over and get that magazine before the train leaves.
Attention, please, attention. Train leading on track 3, all the way to Schenectady. Just one stop at Kansas City.
I gotta get a newspaper, too. I want to see if they have anything in it about my...
Jack, what time does your train leave?
I don't know. It's not on the hit parade yet.
What?
Nothing.
Attention, please. Attention. Train leaving on track 2 for Asheville, Nashville, Kalamazoo takes on water at Waterloo.
Mary, I'm going to stop at the magazine.
Watch it, Sam.
Well, find my suitcase, Mary. I'll be right back. Now, let's see. There's so many magazines here, I don't know which one to get. Oh, mister. Mister. Why do I always have to run into him? Now, look, mister, all I want to do is buy a magazine.
Okay. Do you want to read it or tear it in half to show me how strong you are?
I want to read it, and I'll take this one here.
Well, house and garden, aren't you lucky?
What?
Today only, with every copy, we give away a pocket full of fertilizer.
Now, look, clerk, I can't stand here all day. I'll take this magazine here, this copy of the Saturday Evening Post.
Yes, sir, that'll be 15 cents.
Here you are.
You want it gift wrapped, I suppose.
Oh, quiet. You burn me up, you stupid jerk.
When you come round, I go berserk.
Train now leaving for Albuquerque.
Now cut that out!
Gentlemen, we present our version of The Snows of Kilimanjaro, which starred Gregory Peck, Susan Hayward, and Ava Gardner. Our story opens in the African jungle, at the foot of the majestic snow-capped mountain, Kilimanjaro.
Gregory Peck. I am a writer who came to hunt in Africa. As I lie here at death's door with a painful throbbing of my infected leg, my entire life has flashed before me. I can tell this is the end because as I look up at the hot African sky, I see two vultures circling over me. Oh, I've seen vultures before, but these two are carrying a bottle of ketchup. I was recommended to them by Duncan Hines. As my temperature rose, I felt a soft, cool hand on my forehead. It was my wife, Susan, tenderly stroking my fevered brow. But as I muttered and moaned in my delirium, she said,
"Cut out that blubbering, Mac."
When is that medicine coming? When will the plane get here? When?
The plane didn't arrive with the medicine, and I got worse. So in desperation, Susan sent for a native witch doctor. The witch doctor came, and for the next 2 hours, he kept stuffing hot sand into my mouth. When my hat got too big for me, I realized he was shrinking my head. Fortunately, I stopped him in time. But to this day, I wear a size 2 3/8.
Oh, doctor, I'm in such pain.
Here, you take him these herbs. You come morning sun, you'll feel all the better like me.
Oh, that's wonderful, doctor. How much do I owe you?
Nothing. Blue Cross.
The witch doctor left. And as the night wore on, my feverish mind was frightened by the sounds of the jungle. The roar of the lion. The cry of the wild boar. The frightened whinny of our horses. The wild chattering of the monkeys. The maniacal screech of the hyena. The terrifying sound of the crocodile. The terrifying sound of the crocodile. I knew if I kept trying, I'd find something that Mel Blanc couldn't do. The quietness of the long night was broken by the jungle sounds. I began to think of all the girls I had known. Constance Forsythe, Rosalind Winston, Valerie Fitzgerald. Then I began to think of the first girl I had ever really loved. It was in Spain. We went everywhere together, dancing, swimming. And finally, she took me to the bullfights. It was my first time at a bullfight, and I didn't know much about this Latin sport. But the traditional blare of trumpets, the first event got underway.
Look, look, here comes the bull.
Wow, he looks big.
Ooh, here comes a toreador.
Hey, dig that crazy steak knife.
It was exciting. The toreador did well, and to show its appreciation, the crowd yelled and showered him with gifts. Maria took the rose out of her hair and threw it to him. I didn't have a rose, so I just threw him my hair. But when I threw it, my hair sailed out in a wide circle and landed back on my head. It was the toupee I had bought in Australia. Yes, my thoughts were all of Maria this time, until I felt a throbbing in my leg. And great waves of pain swept over me, washed me back into consciousness in my camp in Africa. Susan was still standing guard over me. She must have realized I had been dreaming of Maria, because she said...
Wipe that smile off your face, Mac!
Oh, it's you, Susan. I must have been dreaming. Has the plane arrived yet with the medicine?
No, they were halfway across the Atlantic and they had to turn back for the peroxide.
For my leg?
No, for me. I wasn't born a blonde.
Susan's voice soothed me. And again, I fell asleep. I forgot the pain of the present as I remembered the pleasures of the past. And it was at this point I remembered Ava. I first met Ava in Paris. Gay Paris. Ava had everything. Beauty, poise, and intelligence. But even though she was a society heiress, she insisted on earning her living by singing in a tiny French nightclub called the Bayou. I shall never forget the first time I heard her as she sang...
Gee, the station is crowded. Rochester.
Yeah, boss.
Put on your red cap and carry my bags to the train, will you? I gotta meet my gang.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Gee, we're all supposed to meet here at the information desk. No one... Oh, there they are. Hey, Phil, Don.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Hiya, Jackson.
Say, what are you carrying there under your arm?
Well, I heard it was pretty cold in New York, and I want to be on the safe side.
But Jackson, a smudge pot.
Well, I'm not taking any chances. You
train
know.
Leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. Does anybody want to go to Anaheim, Azusa, or Cucamonga?
Say, Don, have you got all the tickets?
Well, not quite, Jack. At the last minute, Phil said he needed an extra one.
Phil, who are you sneaking on this trip with you?
Well, it's Frankie, my guitar player. I got to take him along on account of the magazine.
The magazine?
Yeah, he reads to me.
Oh, for goodness sake, now I have to buy another ticket.
Hi, Jack. Where you been? Ain't seen you around.
What? Oh, hello. Hello.
Who was that, Jack?
Oh, he's a racetrack scout that used to hang around Hollywood Park, you know. Well, I'll meet you later, fellas. Now, let's see. The ticket window ought to be...
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. Oh, come on. Somebody must want to go to Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Now, let me see. The ticket window ought to be...
Jack. Jack, come here a minute.
Huh? Oh, it's you again. What is it?
I didn't want to say anything while you were with your friends there, but where are you going?
New York.
What train you taking?
The T. Why, what's the matter?
Take the L, Capitan.
But I like the T.
Come here, man.
Yeah?
And take my tip, bud. The El Capitan will beat the chief into Kansas City by 3 lengths.
What?
According to yesterday's performance, it can't miss.
Well, look, I'm sorry. I'm taking the chief.
Why?
Come here a minute. Don't noise this around, see?
No.
But I found out the chief... is a sleeper. Now, so long, fella.
Okay, so long.
Now, let's see. The ticket window should be...
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. Look, we're not asking much. Two of you, or even one of you. Just somebody to keep the engineer company.
Here's the ticket window. Oh, pardon me, are you the ticket clerk?
So what do you think I am in this cage, a canary?
Don't get huffy about it. All I want is a ticket on the cheese.
Oh. Yeah, would you like the $60 ticket or the $140 ticket?
Well, what's the difference?
Well, with the $140 ticket, you ride inside.
Well, naturally, I want to ride on the inside. After all, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be.
You're not as young as anybody used to be.
Now, don't get fresh. All I want is a ticket to New York.
Return trip?
No, one way.
Good.
Now, cut that out and stop wasting time. I have to get to New York by Thursday.
I'm sorry, but our trains are all booked up.
Well, think, man, think. There must be one train that has room for me.
Leaving on track 5. Look, there are 5,000 people in this station. Isn't there somebody, anybody, are there any volunteers? Please, I get fired if I don't get somebody on the train for Anaheim and do nothing. And you come on, go.
Look, work. I waited here long enough. You've just got
well,
to...
Well, well, you're in luck, Blue Eyes. I found one ticket on the chief.
Good, I'll take it.
The chief, waiting for New York. Over.
Hurry up, will you, clerk? Thanks.
Oh,
Wait for me.
Hey, Jackson, we're moving. Hurry up.
I'm coming. Wait for me.
I don't think that anybody, a comedian or an actor of any kind, says to himself at any time, I think I'm going to develop a style. I don't think he would know how to do that. I think you just find it. Innately, there's something that you do that you find out works for you. Some comedians talk very fast. They go from one joke to another joke to another joke, maybe topical humor. Now, I discovered when I first started to talk on the stage that would not have been my style. My style was to talk on a subject and stay on the subject. We never did anything that we thought was going to last. We never framed anything. We never started anything that we said. For instance, I've never gone to my writers and they never went to me and came to me and said, let's make you a stingy character. Let's make Love and Bloom your theme song. Let's have a feud between you and Fred Allen. See, if we'd have framed all of that ahead of time, it would have never worked out. It always started by an accident. By accident, we wrote a couple of stingy jokes. And then they got big laughs, so we each week or every third week, we would put in a few stingy jokes. And before I knew it, I was a stingy man.
Sure is dark tonight. No moon. Oh, well. Yadda-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum, da-dum, dum-dee-da-da-dum.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
You got a match?
Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. I said this is a stick-up. Now, come on. Your money or your life?
Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Start out by saying I want Love and Bloom as my theme song. I would have hated Love and Bloom as my theme song. I don't like it today as my theme song. I like it as a song.
No, no, it's not Isaac Stern. It's you, no.
I was 36 for years. Then I was 37 and 38. Then we stopped at 39, because 39 is a funny number. 40 isn't. The feud with Fred Allen started by Fred Allen insulting me on his show, knowing that I was going to be listening. And so I answered him. Then he answered me. Then I answered him. We were in the feud for 8 or 9 months before we even discussed it with each other. That's why it was successful.
You know who.
heaven. I'm interested in the violin. I practice every day, sometimes anywhere from an hour to 3 hours. And I do that because I still want to continue with the concert, even when I'm all through with everything else in show. But everybody wanted their kids to play the violin or piano. So I took it up and then I dropped it almost immediately. And I never practiced again for years and years and years until I suddenly decided I wanted to give concerts. And then, 11 years ago, I had to start practicing. Now, that's a pretty late in life to think that I was conceited enough to think that I could give concerts. And by gosh, I'm giving them. I no more feel my age. I feel more like the age that I kid about. I feel absolutely wonderful. I think of a thing that Chevalier said once in my dressing room. He was visiting me in New York. And although I think this started with Mark Twain, but I'm not sure. I only heard Chevalier say it. When they asked Chevalier, who was then 77, how it feels to be 77, he said, when I think of the alternative, I like it. And that's it. But it's a natural question to say to me, how would you like if through some miracle, now there are no miracles, but let's say there was a miracle where you could be again 39. Would you like that? My answer would have to be only if I felt as good as I feel now. When I was 39, I don't think I felt as good. I think I had too many things to think about, to worry about, because I was some kind of a star even then, so I had to worry about holding up a position. Well, now, there's nothing to worry about. I don't have to work if I don't want to. I work where and when I like. And there's no place for anybody to throw me out of show business anymore. It's too late. I've passed it.
Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Oh, here I am, boy. Yeah. I hear, boy. Boy, here's a tip for you.
Oh, boy, a dollar. A whole dollar. Thanks, Mr. Benny.
I wonder who could be sending me a telegram right in the middle. Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Benny.
What do you want now?
I forgot my bicycle.
You didn't forget it. I bought it. Now, goodbye. I hate when a guy makes a deal and then tries to get out of it. See, the telegram's from my sister, Florence.
Oh, what did she say?
She says, "Dear Jack, I've been listening to your program, and I thought I should send you this wire immediately. You're not 40 years old today. You're actually..." Oh, no. No, this can't be. This is awful.
Well, Jack, how old does your sister say you are today?
39. Oh, my goodness, this is embarrassing. But my sister Florence ought to know. I guess instead of being born in 1914, it was 1915. I'm going to call Rochester and have him look at my birth certificate. My sister Florence says I'm 39, and I think I'm 40. I got to find out.
Say, Mabel. What is it, Gertrude? Mr. Benny's line is flashing. Yeah, I wonder what Collier's cover girl wants now. I'll plug in and find out. Yes, Mr. Benny. I'll call your house immediately. He wants I should get him Rochester. Well, be nice to him. You know, today's his birthday. It is? How did you find out? Dial Ulrich 8900. Yeah, but how did
Dial,
you...
dial.
Okay.
The time is 4:21 and 10 seconds. And today is Jack Benny's birthday. The time is 4:21 and 20 seconds. His shirt size is 15 and a half. The time is...
How do you like that? Imagine Benny having his birthday announced on the telephone. How did he get away with it? He used to be a personal friend of Alexander Graham Bell. But with all the advertising, he must be getting a lot of gifts. I can imagine. What did you send him? A beautiful calfskin glove. One glove? Why in the world would you give him only one glove? That's all he needs. He never takes his right hand out of his pocket. Very true. Say, Gertrude, can you give me a lift home tonight? Gagasel, what's wrong? I got another flat tire. See, you've been having more trouble with that motorcycle. Yeah.
Operator. Gertrude, get me my hole.
I'm trying. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Well, you ought to know. You helped build it.
Well, thank you, Julius Caesar.
Never mind. Now, please, ring my hole.
Okay, I'm ringing it.
Smart Alec, Gertrude. She takes you out for dinner once. She thinks she owns you. Oh, well.
Mr. Benny's residence, star stage, radio, television, and silent pictures.
Rochester, it's me.
Hello, boy.
What took you so long to answer the phone?
Well, today's your birthday, and I was out in the kitchen finishing your cake.
Oh, you baked a cake for me?
Yeah, and you ought to see it, boss. Across the top in whipped cream, I wrote, Happy Birthday.
Oh, that's nice, Rochester.
Oh, by the way, how many peas in happy?
Two.
Uh-oh.
Oh, so you'll have to add one.
I gotta take one off. I got three.
Well, look it, you can do that later. Now, Rochester, here's why I call you. I don't know what to do. I thought today was my 40th birthday, but I just got a wire from my sister, and she says I'm 39.
Well, don't argue with her, boss. Grab it.
Rochester, I got to be honest with myself. Now, I want you to look at my birth certificate and tell me the date on it.
Your birth certificate?
Yes, you know where it is?
It's right here on the desk.
What's my birth certificate doing on the desk?
You got it out the other day when you applied for your old age pension.
Oh, I just did that for a gag.
Well, they must be laughing. Your first check came today.
Rochester, stop making things up. Now, look at my birth certificate.
I'm looking at it.
Now, in the space where it says date of birth, what's there?
A hole.
A hole in the paper?
Yeah, we erased it once too often.
Oh, well, then there's nothing I can do, and I'll have to take my sister's word for it.
I guess so, boss. Your sister must be right.
Yep, I guess I'm 39. Well, goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What?
Aren't we devils?
You and me?
No, me and your sister.
Goodbye, Rochester.
I portray a character that has all the weaknesses, the frailties of man. And I think the reason it was so successful, because every family, large or small, has an uncle like that. They say, oh, he's as cheap as Uncle Sam or something, or Uncle Jack or whatever it is. And, or they'll have people who are always bragging, or people who are supposed to be great lovers and all, and they're not, you know. So this comes off.
Answer the phone, would you please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Benny's room, star, stage, green, radio, television, and would do the Highland Fling if he hadn't already flung it.
Rochester.
Hello? Oh, yes, Miss Livingston. He's just ready to leave. I'll tell him. Boss, Miss Livingston is waiting at the department store.
Say, I better get going. I want to buy some gifts. Now, where's that store Miss Livingston said she'd meet me?
It's on the corner of 5th and Fairfield, near the 1st or 4th.
I better write that down. 4th and Fairfield, near the 1st of 5th.
No, no, no. Not 4th and Fairfield. It's 5th.
Oh. Well, what's on 4th?
I don't even know who's on 1st.
Well, I'll find it. Goodbye, Abbott.
So long, Costello.
Goodbye. The Bonnie Heather department store should be around here someplace. Maybe it's that store across the street. See what the sign says. No, that's Manny Moe and McGregor. Wish I could find a cop or someone who knows his way around. Oh, there's a man standing on the corner in plaid kilts and tam o' shanter. He ought to know. Oh, excuse me, sir, but is the Bonnie Heather department store around here?
I don't know.
Well, we are near the 1st of 4th, aren't we?
I don't know.
Well, this is 5th Street, isn't it?
I don't know.
You're not even a Scotsman. Why are you wearing those kilts?
It's Ladies' Day. It's a ball game.
I'll find the store. It ought to be around.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, Mary, I was looking for you. Where's the store?
Right here.
How do you like that? I was standing right next to it. Well, come on, let's go in. So, actually, get something nice for my sister Florence.
Well, they have some beautiful gifts in here.
Hey, this is a nice store.
Yeah. You ought to be able to get something very nice in here for your sister. How much do you want to spend?
Oh, I ought to get her something better than that. Do you think she'd like any of these perfumes?
Well, you can't go wrong on perfume. Oh, here comes the man.
Oh, yes. Oh, pardon me. Are you the clerk?
Aye. May I be of service to you?
Yes, yes. This is quite a nice, broad-brick, moonlit store you've got here to me.
Yeah. For heaven's sake.
What's the matter?
In England, you are dropping your aces, and here you're spraying people.
I'm just trying to be one of the boys. Now, clerk, I'd like to buy some perfume for my sister.
Well, would you like something sophisticated or allure?
Gee, I don't know.
Well, how old is your sister?
Well, she's 2 years younger than I am.
And how old are you? 39.
Yes.
That one almost started his motor.
Please. Say, this looks like a nice bottle of perfume. It's such an unusual box, too. Oh, clerk, how much is this one in American money?
$8.
$8. That's not so bad. Tell you what, clerk, I'll give you 4.
I'll take $7.90.
I'll give you $4.10.
$7.75.
$4.80.
$7.10.
I'll give you 5.
Have a chair.
Thank you. Now, where were we?
$7.10.
Oh, yes. I'll give you 5.
I'll take 7.
$5.70.
$6.20.
$5.90.
$6.
$6.10.
$5.80.
Back up, you fast each other.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you what, clerk. Let's make it $6 even.
You're a gentleman and a scholar. It's a deal, sir.
Thank you.
I'll unlock the store and let you out.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now offer you our version of that blood-curdling, thrilling radio murder mystery, The Whistler.
Of innocent people. I even drive them to murder. Let me take you to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Park, Gwendolyn and Griffin. As we look in on them, it's morning, and the sun is coming through the window. Nothing can stop that California sun. Mr. and Mrs. Parks are having breakfast. They are happy, but not for long. For I am the fiddler.
Gosh, Gwendolyn, this is a wonderful breakfast. I'm sure glad I'm married to you.
So am I, Griffith.
Where are the children?
We have no children.
Oh, then who is it that's always bringing me my slippers?
Our Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, it's funny I've wasted to have his teeth straightened.
Griffith, I have a surprise for you. My mother's coming to live with us.
Oh, bully, that's wonderful.
See, they're happy. But I'll change that.
Gwendolyn, when is your dear darling mother coming?
Tomorrow.
Oh, I'm glad you told me in time. Now I can buy her a present. I wonder what I should give her.
Why don't you give her a hit on the head?
No, Gwen, your father gave her that last year.
What did you say, dear?
I just answered your question.
But I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did.
You see, I have them confused already.
Well, I better finish my breakfast.
Yes, here's a great big bowl of cereal. Wait, I'll pour the cream on it for you. You can take your fingers out of your ears now. They've stopped crackling. Now, eat your cereal.
Gee, that was a stubborn little one, wasn't it?
It certainly was, darling.
Darling, darling. Come on, slug her with something. I've got other homes to break up.
What did you say, Griffith?
I didn't say anything. My mouth was full of the breakfast of champions. Well, I better finish my breakfast and hurry to the office.
Yes, Griffin. Hurry to your office. While your wife, Gwen, waits at home for her sweetheart, the milkman. She adores him. Look, he's coming up the walk now.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy.
Shut up! That song drives me nuts. All right, knock on the door. She's waiting for you.
Hello, baby.
Hello, Clyde. I've been waiting for you. Come on in.
Well, wait a minute. I got to get rid of this milk.
Why don't you drink it?
Who, me?
Go ahead, Clyde. Drink it. It'll be good for that pool table complexion. With those side pockets under your eyes.
Come here, baby. Pucker up. Give me a kiss.
Why, sure, Clyde.
Lay one on. I really thrilled you, eh, baby?
No, you're holding that cold milk bottle on my back.
Gee, Gwen, I wonder what your husband would say if he caught you kissing me, his best friend.
Well, I tell him you're congratulating me on my birthday.
But you've told him that 28 times this year. Ain't he getting wise?
No, but he's getting mad buying me all those presents. Gee, Clyde, you and I could be so happy together if it weren't for my husband.
Ah, now you're on the right track.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you kill your husband?
Clyde, I just got an idea.
So did I.
Let's kill Griffith. Must be love. We said it together.
That's it. Now we're getting somewhere. Go ahead. Kill him.
Kill him. Row, 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 row. You shut up. And take those braces off your teeth.
Gwen, I know how to kill your husband.
How?
Let's open a window and smog him to death.
No. No, Clyde, I have a better way. When he comes home, you hide in the closet. When he hangs up his coat, you can strangle him. And no one will ever know.
No one will ever know. Except me. For I am the fiddler. Office is closed, and Griffith, the unsuspecting husband, is walking home without a care on his mind.
Gee, it'll be nice to get home to my loving wife, Gwendolyn. I feel sorry for her. She's alone all day.
Are you sure she's alone?
Of course I'm sure. About twice a week, our best friend Clyde drops in, but that's only on her birthday.
Don't be a fool. Your wife is in love with Clyde. Hurry home. You'll find them together.
All right, I'll go home and see for myself. Gee, I better be prepared. Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you!
You see what I mean? Here are three innocent people, and I have planted the seed of suspicion, which will soon grow into murder. Ain't I a stinker? And now, to get back to our story. Clyde is hiding in the closet, and Griffith is about to enter the house.
Darling, you're home early.
Yes, Gwendolyn.
Stop talking. Ask her about Clyde. Go on, ask her.
Huh?
Ask her about Clyde.
Darling, was Joe here?
Not Joe. That was yesterday. It's Clyde today. Now, come on, brother, come on. You got to get murdered. And hurry up or we'll be in the middle of Amos and Andy. Go on, open that closet door.
No, I don't want to, I'm afraid.
Come on, don't be a coward. Open that closet door.
No.
Go on, put your hand on that knob.
That's it.
Now turn it.
Good.
Now open the door.
Folks, come with me to Alabama. There we'll meet my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs.
Griffith, you shot him.
No, Gwen, I didn't shoot him.
Well, somebody did. I wonder who.